It is December of 2020. Max So is going to be talking to Cassie Wilson for the COVID Disability Archive. We are recording these oral histories as a way to document the lived experiences of disabled, chronically ill, and neurodivergent individuals during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us. And I was wondering if you could start by just sharing your name, age, pronouns, and currently where you live.
Yeah, I'm Cassie Wilson. I'm 22 years old. I use she, her pronouns, and I live in Boring, Oregon.
Cool. I was wondering, Nixie, if you could share how you identify, whether it's disabled, chronically ill, neurodivergent, etc., along with any other identifiers you would like to share.
Yeah, I identify as disabled. I have a form of dwarfism. And I'm an ambulatory wheelchair user.
Great. So, with the pandemic, I was wondering if you could share kind of if you remember when you first heard about the pandemic, whether specifically where you were or was one of the first conversations you had about the pandemic.
Yeah, I think, when it was first starting to unravel, I was realizing, oh, this is like a very big thing because pre-COVID, I went to a lot of concerts. And so I was watching the gathering capacities drop from like, 1,000 to 500 to 250 to 100 and just kept dropping. And so I think that was one of the first moments. And then, the like closeness to
and button zoom button active speaker video
good now
Yeah.
alert accessibility selected
Sorry.
voiceover button
Yeah, you were
voiceover
t
off
I think you were saying about the you used to go to concerts and you saw the numbers drop.
It really started to feel close to home when my friend was telling me that him and his wife had to quarantine because she worked at the hospital where the first case in Oregon was. So that's when it felt really close to home. But it was kind of weird because at that time, back in February, my mom had broken her leg. And so we were pretty much already at home. And so not a lot changed for us at first. But yeah, that's kind of the first things were just, yeah, seeing concerts get canceled and then seeing friends have to start quarantining right at the beginning.
How has your experience with the pandemic changed over the past year? And specifically, what is your experience as a disabled person been throughout the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it was a lot of just survival focus. We were really focused on like making sure we had access to hand sanitizer and making sure we had access to food because so many people were, doing these huge grocery shopping trips and, it was harder to find food. And then like I feel like kind of my second wave of the experience with it was like, I drive my mom to all of her doctor's appointments, and at a lot of them, like I'm not allowed in, and I only have my permit. So, like, having to sit in the car in the middle of summer was pretty terrible, and now I'm kind of experiencing that in winter. And then I feel like, too, like, throughout the whole pandemic, like, sometimes it's just been really frustrating to see some of the accessibility that came to fruition as a result of non-disabled people needing it, whereas it's like things that disabled people have been wanting for years. While simultaneously, disabled people are kind of being sacrificed. Like if hospitals are full and it's between like me and somebody who's in perfectly good health and fully able, like, they're going to be the one who gets the bed. Mm. And so just, like, knowing that the world is still like that is, like, been really frustrating. And, and it, like, kind of feels like if you don't provide economic value to the world, then your life doesn't matter. But, I mean, I also think overall, like, on a day-to-day basis, that because I'm disabled, I feel like I'm really good at adapting to new situations because I've had so many different situations throughout life based on my health. And so I feel like I'm really good at adapting. And, like, also, I just really appreciate that I can actually access the world because everything's online. And, like, I know that it's a privilege to be able to do so, but it's just, like, for once, like, the world is at my fingertips. Like, I don't have to go anywhere. So that's definitely, like, been what's getting me through the day-to-day. But, like, overall, just kind of this, like, big looming feeling that, like, people are very easily willing to give up disabled lives if they have to. And I hate that.
Yeah, definitely. How has your relationships with people been like throughout this, or have they changed at all? If so, how? If you've had to distance yourself from people because of safety precautions, or any other reasons, how has this gone? The decision-making processes that went into it, the emotions that went into it, etc.
For sure, yeah. Unfortunately, part of my family, my aunt and uncle and cousins, think that COVID is a hoax and they don't believe in masks, and they opted out of our, like, virtual Christmas and stuff like that, and kind of laugh at all of us for being extremely precautious. And it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, if you don't care about us when we're at our most vulnerable, like, when will you care? And just, like, how do you talk to people who, like, when you don't even have, like, a shared set of, like, facts or, like, basic truths, or like finding that common ground is really difficult. And so it's just kind of this big moment of, like, I thought you cared about me, but then your actions show otherwise, by not believing in something that affects me, it affects my mom, it affects my grandparents, and they just think that we're all the ones, like, falling for lies or something, while we're just trying to keep each other safe. So
you said they rejected your you folks were planning to have a virtual Christmas, and then they...
Yeah, they said that if it wasn't in person, they didn't want it. And it's like, well, sorry, the rest of us are trying to live to see next Christmas, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's hard. Did they end up... I would imagine they had their own thing, and then...
They gathered with my aunt's side of the family in person instead, while the rest of us had Zoom Christmas, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. So you said you mentioned you're currently in Oregon?
Yes.
Where currently in Oregon are you, and do you live with anyone? If so, who, and if you have any personal care assistants, personal care attendants, has this been affected by the pandemic?
So I live in Boring, Oregon, and I live with my parents, which has been pretty nice because my mom and I, the only places we go are doctor's appointments, and then my dad works, but he doesn't really see anyone. The beginning of the pandemic was different, though, because my brother and his girlfriend were still living here from March through July, and that was really stressful because we had, like, a shared bathroom, shared kitchen, all of that, And so it's like I was constantly having to disinfect after them because they were always coming and going. And then another interesting aspect in terms of living situations during all of this is that back in September, my mom and I actually evacuated from the wildfires in the area. And so we felt safe enough that because we take such precaution and don't go anywhere, and that my grandparents do the same, that we ended up evacuating to their house. But still, that was such like a risk that we were taking. During all of this, and then, like, in terms of, like, extra care, like, we don't have any, like, personal care attendants, but, back at the beginning of the pandemic, when my mom's leg was broken and my dad was at work, like, I am not able enough to help take care of her, too, and so, we had to have, like, my aunt, who doesn't really believe in the pandemic, as well as my aunt who does, occasionally like take turns coming in to help throughout the day. And it was definitely a big risk, and thankfully nothing bad came of it, but like back then it was like so necessary just to get by.
How long you said you had to go to your grandparents' house, how long did you folks stay there?
I think it was 3 or 4 days.
Okay. Okay. And then you folks moved back after that? Or?
Yeah, we came back home once the evacuation orders were lifted.
Do you feel like your relationship with different social institutions, such as healthcare, school, work, government, media, etc., has changed during this time? If so, how?
I feel like maybe kind of in general that like it's kind of really unveiled like some deep-rooted ableism in every institution.
Yeah.
Like I think like even like healthcare facilities, like I know they're obviously doing the most to protect everyone, but some of like the restrictions that have come about like as a result, and some of these apply other places too, like lack of seating in lobbies and like no access to bathrooms or like restrictions on how many people can go to doctor's appointments, like those restrictions, like I feel like they mostly affect disabled people at the end of the day. And so that's like kind of a frustrating part. And like another frustrating thing for me throughout this year was that I was supposed to get my license right before the pandemic started, but then my test got canceled. And then when things were a little bit better, like towards the end of summer, I think it was, they were like, well, you can go take your test at like a third party driving test company and then just take the paperwork to the state office. But as a disabled person, I can't do that because I can't take my test through a third party because I use driving modifications and only the DMV can test me. So that was just like another one of those things where I'm like, yep, like I mean, I don't think I would do it anyway probably at the end of the day, because like having somebody in my car that close to me would be really stressful. But it's just like if I really needed to get my license, like I wouldn't have been able to. And I think now they've opened things back up, but again, I'm not gonna do it right now because I'm like very scared of the new strain of the virus. But but it was just like a really frustrating moment where I was like, cool, so the only people who can't like take a driving test right now are people who use driving modifications. Like How is that fair, you know?
Definitely. So you mentioned that, you know, quite a number of different challenges and barriers and have come up, and how X has exposed like ableism and things like that. Would you If you could name like one or two like hardest things that have come up because of the pandemic, what would you say they would be?
I think the two hardest things would be like being reminded that accessibility really doesn't happen until able people care. That's like definitely a hard thing because it's like disabled people are constantly fighting for it and nobody cares, but then when the rest of the population needs something like work from home, it happens overnight. And then the other thing for me that's been really hard is not feeling comfortable asking my friends who care about disabled people, who care about me, why they're not quarantining as much as they can and taking as many precautions as they can, because it feels like a direct, like it feels like a direct way of showing with your actions that you don't really care if you're, you know, hanging out with people and doing things beyond what's necessary still. Even, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, though, the state restrictions allow that because they allow small gatherings. But I guess, like, for me, it's like I've had to take every possible precaution in the past year. And it's like, I know that, I mean, COVID's obviously still spreading and it's happening through these small interactions. And I'm just like, if you understand that, then why aren't you doing the most? I don't know. And like knowing that they know that it disproportionately affects disabled people and other marginalized people, like just being frustrated, but like not feeling comfortable like this point in the pandemic, because like people know all of these things, but they're still choosing to not be safe. And it's just like, I don't feel like I can like police other people's actions, but it's like, it still hurts to see it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Have there been any quote unquote silver linings or anything positive that you have unexpectedly or expectedly come about because of the pandemic?
Yeah, actually, I feel really lucky, and sometimes it feels, yeah, kind of funny to be like, yeah, a lot of good actually has come of this, even though it's such a terrible, terrible thing. But, I mean, I think the accessibility we're seeing the general population experience sets a precedent for after the pandemic, that work from home is possible, curbside pickup and curbside services are possible, live streams are possible, and also just the way that the world is more accessible than ever. Being able to do anything from home and not having to commute, having more time to take care of myself because I'm not commuting. And yeah, just it's like, I don't know, I think the precedent set for accessibility is going to be really huge, though, after all of this.
Is there anything else you would like to share that I haven't asked that you would like to share?
I guess just generally, like, I hope to see more people fighting for disability justice and including disabled people in conversations and talking about accessibility more, because I feel like the people I've related to the most and like really like connected with over the past year have been other disabled people who feel like society is continuing to not value disabled lives. And so I hope that, you know, I hope that some awareness comes out of what disabled people have experienced in the past year.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and that was all the questions I had. If there's nothing else you'd like to share, I can go ahead and stop the recording.
Sounds good.